Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. We have rain in the forecast for the next couple of days, but if you used this glorious weekend to put some plants in the ground, you may be welcoming that opportunity. Our favorite gardening guru, Jim Orband, is here today with tips for growing a butterfly-friendly garden and staving off some plant-borne diseases that might be taking a toll on your garden. And by the way, this is Historic Garden Week in Virginia. We'll have the rundown of that as well, along with your calls after this news from NPR. If there is a better way to start the week, I can say I do not know what it would be.
To start every day.
Jim Orband, you know, Morgan Chase taking good care of us today.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Starting us off, easing us into the work week.
What a surprise it was.
With a little earth, wind, and fire.
I didn't know what to do.
I thought, oh my gosh, are we back in the 70s? What is happening here? Time travel. Time and space continuum bent.
This is in September.
No, but it had the distinctive sound.
Another earth, wind, and fire. All right.
So many distinctive sounds.
Oh, yeah. They're just
coming
good.
Out of earth, wind, and fire. Mm-hmm. There you go. So mm-hmm. I feel good about this show just because of that. We don't have to say another word. It's all good.
Okay.
Did you have a good weekend?
Excellent. Always.
Beautiful weekend to be in the garden.
The weather was just
perfect.
Cooperative.
And speaking of cooperative, Jim Orband, as you may know, is a senior cooperative extension agent emeritus with the Virginia Cooperative Extension.
That's it.
And you have a guest with you today.
I do. Dr. Dave Bankus is with me. We corroborate. I don't know. I'll just use. We did a lot of work together. Dave, it's nice to be here on Monday morning, right?
You know, this is a great thing. We have in 2 minutes on the air created a new word. Now, you know, I'm just going to say there's nobody else on the air at the noon hour who's doing that, who's expanding the language. By
and
the
Debbie stopped making my dictionary about 10 years ago.
Did she
was making a dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Of all of
the
these
Jim Orband pronunciations.
Yes.
And
yes. Well, you know, there it is. Uh-huh. So I'm glad you have your friend and colleague here, because afterwards you're heading over.
To Norfolk Botanical Gardens. It'll be great.
Roll around. What are you going to do? Just walk around, look at things?
What do gardeners do? We tell lies to each other about how good our plants look. Oh, boy, you should see mine. You think that Fothagillea looks good? You ought to see mine today.
Really? And speaking of Fothagillea, if you go to Jim Orband's Facebook page, let me just say two things. Number one is that Jim Orband is changing his cover photo. That would be one sign that you know that society is in transformation.
In routine.
And routinely changing your cover photo with the season.
That's right.
With
the bloom of the plant.
Let me just say, I know we are in a transformative moment in our human evolution, but I think that is pure evidence. The second evidence, maybe the end is near, I don't know, is that Jim Orband walked into this studio today with, wait for it,
An iPad. I think it's an iPad.
Yes.
Yeah.
You realize that you have really, yes, it is an iPad. Yes, that's what it is. You have really adopted beautifully in this last year. It's like you saved it all up. And then this year, next thing I know, you're going to come in with those Google glasses. Have you seen those?
I have.
Not going to happen?
We don't think we want that to happen. Right.
Well, I am glad to see you today.
They record everything.
Exactly.
I don't want my life to be recorded.
That's what I'm talking about.
In fact, I'm hoping this isn't the podcast, because then people can listen to what.
Oh, this is a podcast. Did you not know that?
Sure, I did. But
okay.
You know,
I'm just
they're
going to
hear me say corroborate and collaborate together.
But I like that. That was kind of a fusion moment there.
It was.
No, but every now and again, somebody around here wants to record this show for the video. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No. Uh-uh.
First of all,
although
today would have been charming because you could have seen us. kind of doing our little rock out when we heard our special music today. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, there's
maybe
nothing
not.
Going on in here that you really want to see.
That's
I mean,
right.
it's just not. But anyway, there we go.
People talking on microphones.
That's
right?
That's all it is. Mm-hmm. That's all it is, friends.
And Jim with his iPad.
Well, that might
that
be,
would be
worth
history.
Something. I may take a picture of that and post it on the online, on the Facebook.
On the Facebook?
Yeah, on
oh,
the Facebook.
Oh, we're back to that again.
Yeah, I know. We've
okay.
got the Twitter going on
right.
and everything. We are
Jim
so Moore, hip.
Jim Orban can bring an iPad
I
and
know.
He can do the Facebook.
Oh, come on now. It is look, if this man can do all that, think what he can do for your garden. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Sandy starts us off today from Chesapeake. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Kathy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This year, my really pretty, my fancy schmancy jonquils, half of them never produced a bloom. They sent up what should have been a bloom stalk. But at the end of the stalk was just this very papery, tissue papery appendage that never opened and produced a flower. I always have a few of those, but this year it was an abundance of them, almost half and half. And I don't know what I did wrong, or was it the weather, or what do I have to do next year to make it better?
Great question.
Well, one thing I'm going to do is have you, after I give my thoughts, contact Brent and Becky's Bulbs, which is in Gloucester,
Great
Virginia.
Idea.
Brent is just, he's, I think, fifth generation bulb grower in these United States. But that's called a blast, a BLAST. When you have the stem this of the flower coming up, and then it just aborts. And a couple things I'm thinking, it could be your clump of jonquils might be needing dividing, which is probably a good thing to do. And you can, a lot of folks wonder if you can only do that in the fall, but you can divide them now because now you know where the bulb is. So you can take them up, divide them, spread them 3 to 4 inches apart from each other, and then start again towards next year. The other thing that could have happened is the temperatures. Hmm. I don't know that it actually has happened, but since a lot of them were coming up late this year and we had a late March, and we had 2 degrees in March in some places on the Tidewater area, it could very well have been it aborted due to temperatures. But I would recommend that you contact Brent and Becky Bulbs and talk with Brent Heath about maybe what his speculation might be.
All right, Sandy, good luck. That is disappointing when
it
they
is.
Tease you like, oh, yeah, this is going to be happening this spring. It's going to be gorgeous for you. Then all of a sudden, nothing.
And just to share another very disappointing thing that people are probably experiencing is a lot of winter burn that's going on. And a lot of people might have truly lost their plants because
of
this cold.
So how could you tell that? I mean, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You might just think, well, it's just taking a while. Or
right. And usually I would tell people to wait till June 1st before they actually make their final decision. If it doesn't leaf out by then, most likely it's not going to leaf out. Crepe myrtle, which is one of our latest ones, plants to leaf out, will start leafing out towards the middle of May. But I was observing my crepe myrtle, and I'm not seeing any swelling of the buds.
Wow.
I'm not seeing any green in the buds. So I'm pretty much thinking, what am I going to do for that part of the shade garden? Because there's not going to be the shade that plant casts.
You think it might be done for?
I do.
Yeah.
I had a pineapple guava I think I lost. Mm-hmm. Mahonia really suffered quite a bit. Mahonia
really?
Fortunae. Did a lot of pruning back on those. So, yes, observing a lot of winter damage.
Yeah. So if you lose
hydrangeas.
A crepe myrtle. Oh, really?
Hydrangeas. Yes.
If you
lose a crepe myrtle.
Somebody was telling me, if you lose a crepe myrtle, what would you put to replace that? Because, trees take a while to grow, right?
Mm-hmm, they do, yes. And that's what
that's my stunning statement for today. Trees take a while to grow. Put that on a pillow sampler.
When you're in the presence of me, usually those things come to you quickly.
That's what it is. It was an inspiration. You're exactly right.
That's it.
So what will you put there?
That's what I'm thinking of. The different plants that I want to grow, which ones do I want to grow? I'm thinking maybe an Ohio buckeye, which has got great flowers at this time. Hummingbirds love it. Squirrels like it because it forms a great nut. It's got kind of interesting fall color, but its structure is really neat. I was thinking of Old Man's Beard, which is Chioanthus virginicus, mm-hmm. which is a native of Virginia. In fact, it's the 2007 bicentennial tree. I'm going through plants, cornice.
So you face the same thing we mere mortals do in terms of what happens when things pass on and are done.
Then when they're done, I have to deal with it also. It does give you that window of opportunity that says, I can change my plants around.
Well, this year, for the first time, you'll be very proud of me, Jim Orband. This has been an 18-year evolution for us, and I grew the seeds a couple of years ago, put those in the pots. This year, I put them in the ground.
In the ground.
I germinated them. Got them. They were maybe an inch or two tall.
Uh-huh.
Put them right out there in the ground. So we're going to see if anything. It's so far, they seem to be doing okay. So my hope is that with this rain, boom.
I think they will do fine. The main thing that I would tell you, a lot of times what people will do is they'll set plants out and set them away from themselves. That's why containers are nice, because people check their containers every day. But when you put them in the landscape, usually folks forget them. So I would say just put it in your brain, mental note, go and check them from time to time, see how they're doing.
Everything's doing okay.
They might surprise you with gorgeous bloom, and you go, you weren't blooming the other day, and here you are blooming wonderfully.
Well, I tell you, it was a great weekend to be out at the Fred Hewitt Center arts and crafts and herb sale, garden and herb sale. Lots and lots of folks out there. It was a beautiful, beautiful day for it. And, of course, a great day down at NATO Fest as well. That just magnificent.
Native Plant Society reported back to me that their plant sale went really good. Jamestown Beach.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad to hear that, because those are good causes.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Those are good causes. Money
and it's so
towards.
Interesting, too, just to talk with people about what they about what they're growing too. You know, it's a very, very interesting thing, and what works and what doesn't. And so that's the other nice thing about going to these events, is you can really run into some people who really know what they're doing, which is nice to answer your question. At least nice for me, I'll say that. We're at 17 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. If you have questions about what's going on in your garden, we'd love to hear from you today. Are you in that same position that Jim describes himself in, where he's trying to figure out whether he is going to have any growth this year on some of the plants that have been faithful friends in years past? 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. I'm going to tell you something. I have been so pleased with this allergy season, because I was having no allergy issues till this weekend, and I feel like I am sucking pollen in by the bucket load. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't.
Are you an allergy person?
No,
that's so fortunate.
I don't. It is.
Yeah, it really is.
I do watch myself around poison ivy, though.
Yeah.
Because I really have to watch, because I will.
Oh,
get
you will
poison
get a bad
ivy
reaction.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
So if I saved some of these. I planted zinnias because I love those, and my daisies did not come up. Just nothing happening on that one.
Okay.
I've got to redo my coleus, because that usually pops up great. For some reason, it didn't. It might have just, whatever.
There's so many of those when you put a pack of the seed down.
Oh, my gosh,
them,
yes.
They just germinate all over the place.
Yeah, it's really, that one's hard to do. So my question for you is, when I put these in the pots, which I'm about to do, should I do you think I should try that lasagna bulb technique? Put the bulbs, and then those on the top? Would that work?
It works great. Yeah. You might be seeing some of that going on with cool season, because you'll see a lot of tulips, a lot of bulb type of plants coming through a pansy
bed. Right.
So they're coming through a great flowering, base, and then the flower pops above that.
It's a lovely thing, isn't
so
it?
So the same thing could happen very much so.
And
You're going to get somewhat of the same heights with your marigolds and such like that, as well as summer bulbs that are blooming.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Now, here's my other question. If I'm putting these seedlings in, say, a 12-inch square, I've got a bunch of those, what do you think? Two, three? How many should I put in that? Mostly zinnias.
Probably three to four.
Three to four.
Maybe five, but three to four. It's not going to take many, because once
they
start
go
getting
crazy.
Big.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, what you can do is overpopulate. put 10 of them in there, and as they continue to get bigger and bigger, start thinning them out, put them somewhere else.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I will do that from time to time. I'll make it so that it's full immediately.
Yeah.
And then take out the ones that will allow me to get it to be less dense, but still plenty of bulb. Or plenty
really
of flour
good point.
In there.
Mm-hmm. You're so smart. 20 minutes past the hour. Yeah. Lines are full, so when you hear somebody hang up, that'll be your opportunity to call. George is on the line from Suffolk. Hi, George. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I wanted to address the lady that called in about the jonquils.
Yep.
You know, we used to raise jonquils many years ago, and we were part of a dual cropping thing between here and Florida.
Huh.
And occasionally, those bulbs have to be dug up about every 3 to 4 years so that the bulb itself can dry out, and then you separate them off into the little chips. And each one of those little chips will in turn become a new jonquil the following season. But you have to allow that plant, after it has gone through its flowering stage, to dry or start to die back before you dig it. And then after it's dug, then you separate the chips, and the following year you replant, and they will come up just as big and beautiful as they did at the start.
Huh. What do you think?
It worked for you, huh?
All right. George, that's a great... Is that a good strategy?
It'll work, yeah. A lot of times folks don't want to spend the kind of time to make that happen, but you know, when you dig them up now, and do transplant them, they will still go through that same process that he's talking about.
All right, yes. George, thank you for the call. Sure do appreciate it. We're 22 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. And Michelle is on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Michelle, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes. I have a rosemary plant that's in about a 5 or 6 gallon container because we can only have an apartment, just have a patio. And the first year it was just 5 little stalks, and then the last 2 years it absolutely flourished, and I've had so much I've had to give cuttings away. But during the winter, once it starts to brown out, I cut it back, and now the spring we have nothing. I mean, it's just the sticks. It's nothing green yet, and I don't know if it's root bound or if or if the cold got to it this year. But
great question.
Any suggestions?
All right,
I'll take my answer off here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Plants like rosemary, lavender, salvia, they all fall in the category of called a small shrub. Okay, and so what happens is we prune those in the spring of the year, and really do only touch up work as we enter July, August, September. So in other words, if you pruned it hard in September and cut it all out, you might have lost that plant. Okay, I'm not real sure just because of where the buds are located on the plant. So in the future, when you work with a rosemary, lavender, salvia, you want to do that pruning when it wakes up now, because just recently I did some my salvia. But you also want to do it through the season and stop your operation around July 15th with your pruning extensively.
All right. Thank you for the call. Tobin's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Tobin. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling. I've got a question about we have 2 gardenia bushes in my yard. One is a smaller bush, and the other is fairly large. Both of them are suffering from really bad brown leaves this spring.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm just wondering if there's any sort of common thing going on with gardenias this year.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Gardenia was hit pretty hard. Both the radicans, which is the dwarf form, as well as the large form of gardenia. The main thing you got to do with it, like if you're working with the small form of it, the dwarf, usually there are some leaves, green leaves, that are still showing up at the base, real close to the ground. And the parts that are higher, maybe 1 to 3 feet in height, are probably burnt. And the only way to check that is put a pruning shear on it and see if you still have green, or allow it to continue through May 15th to see if you're going to get any buds to break.
Yeah.
Same is true with the gardenia, the large gardenia. You're just going to have to check it to make sure. A lot of the foliage has kind of a just a wet burn type of look on it.
Tobin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're 25 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Those are the numbers where you can join us today. We've had full lines, but we do have one line available for you now. Adrian Mayfield is on the phones for us today, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think she spelled bougainvillea right, which I think is pretty impressive.
How about that? It sure does look good.
Ray's on the line. Well, I just got to the fifth letter, figured it was right from there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in broadcasting. Ray, hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, great show, Kathy.
Hey, thanks
for having
so much.
Bougainvillea. Is it bad if it's brown? I've got like 3 or 4 leaves on the bottom that are green. Help me out.
Okay. He's trying to make the decision here.
Yeah, the main thing to do would be to prune the brown out of that thing and let the buds down low where the greens still are to try and break bud. Did you leave the bougainvillea out all through the winter?
Yes, it's 3 or 4 feet tall, and it's a huge bush.
It's just not tolerant of our hardiness zone. So my guess would be that someone spray painted those green, because I don't even understand why you would have any green leaf on a bougainvillea if you left it out during the wintertime.
But have you done that before, Ray? Ray?
Yes.
Have you done that before? Have you left it out in winter before? Is this the first year? Or?
Yes, this is the second year it's been out in the winter.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good-sized plant. It came in a 5-gallon bucket size when
sure.
I planted.
Yeah. Again, give it some time. You know, if it's not breaking bud by the 15th, the 20th of May, it's probably not going to break bud. Plus, you can actually go to it, take a look at it. If you see bud swelling where the leaf meets the stem of the plant, the leaf axis, that's where you're going to see those buds for those plants.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're at 27 minutes past the hour. I think there were, you know, what he's talking about with the bougainvillea, it seems to me there were a lot of plants this year that had made it through many other previous winters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That because of the low temperatures and then just the repetition of the low temperatures probably just
and the quick drops in temperature, because that's just going to take care of a plant very quickly. Yeah.
John's on the line from Williamsburg. Hi, John. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you.
You are welcome. Go right ahead.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, go right ahead.
This is John from Williamsburg, and my wife and I have pot gardens. Let me clarify that. That's gardens in pot, not gardens of pot.
I'm happy that you clarified that, John.
Hers is an annual garden on our back deck. It gets full sun. Yes. I'm talking. Mine is a shade garden. We have huge Compton oaks around our house, and it's mostly shade. And it's a permanent garden, mostly holly and hosta.
Oh, that
and
sounds
I
lovely.
Need to know what kind of soil I should put in the pots. They seem so different.
Yeah,
potting soil or garden soil?
It's a great, great point. John, hang on the line for us.
Well, if you're using good containers of pot, potted containers, then what you want, you want to use a potting mix. You want to use some kind of manufactured potting soil. ProMix is one of those brand names. Miracle-Gro has them. And what it is, it's an equal combination of vermiculite, perlite, and peat is what they mix that with. And those provide you good porous drainage so that you're getting water to move through it, you're getting nutrients to move through it, and it's light. So when you want to move the container around, it's not going to be as heavy as using a garden soil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that would work for you. And they will support quite a bit of life. You'll probably need to use a slow-release fertilizer in there because there's no soil. So therefore, the cations, the the nutrients are not really readily available to the plant. That's why that slow release in the soil makes the nutrients readily available to the plants.
Interesting. Don, is that helpful?
Well, yeah. One question, though. The the shade garden, it's more or less a permanent garden. Mm-hmm. And doesn't it need permanent earth rather than just the regolite and so forth?
Yes. If you're in the regular soil, you know, that you've got your garden in regular garden soil, yes, you would want to use the earth. And you would amend it with compost or composted manures, those kinds of things. But I was talking about specifically, you asked a question about the containers that you would put your plants. If you're using containers, then you put your potting mixture in your container. And for soil,
you have to amend it to some degree. John, thank you for the call. You know, speaking of soil amendments, you would have been so proud of me at the Hewitt sale on Saturday morning. So there was this man there who was selling what we can only describe as worm droppings. Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to describe that, right? Big bags of it. Apparently, the worms get a lot of that done.
And apparently, that farming.
Exactly. So this is a soil amendment. Mm-hmm. And when I said to him, now this, he says, well, now this is something you put in your soil. I said, do you mean a soil amendment? Yes, I did. Boom. Dropped it on him. Dropped that soil amendment right there. I just turned the microphone off, dropped it.
And how far down was his jaw when
he
dropped?
He was in a state of shock.
He was.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's a man who raises worm poop. So I'm not really sure how shocked he could be, but you know.
It might have been his expectation for you to know that information. Since you have a gardening program on hearsay.
He did not know any of this. So he was rather shocked that I used the amendment word.
That caused the curiosity in his life to say, ma'am, what is your background?
Who is this genius? That's what he was thinking. So anyway, I bought some. So we're going to try it and see.
It's very effective.
Really?
Yes, it's very effective.
Good to know.
Nutrient as well as an amendment.
Okay.
So it does have nutrient value.
There you go. 29 minutes before the hour. Amanda's on the line from Portsmouth. Hi, Amanda. You're on the air. Amanda, can you turn your radio down? You're on the air.
Okay.
Go right ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I have a question, and I hope Jim Orban can help. My husband and I settle a little dispute. We have two really large trees in the backyard. I think one is a pin oak. I'm not sure what the other is. And he wants to take them down because he's afraid they're going to fall on the house and because they make such a mess every year, you know, that he has to clean out. But I really love them and want to keep them, so...
So just to be completely clear here, you love them, but he's the one who's cleaning up after them, right?
That's right.
And
just want to clarify things here. That's all.
Well, I always like to point out the fact that I do horticulture and I do not do marriage counseling. So I'm not really sure how to exactly answer that. If you tell me you have a pin oak, I'm going to ask you first, are the leaves... singular, and they're very narrow in shape. They're very narrow in size.
That's right.
And there's, because I think you might have a willow oak and not a pin oak. But no matter what, you know, the decision has to come between the two of you whether you're going to keep those trees or not. I think I'm going to keep a tree no matter what. You never know when a tree is going to fall. And probably
the
best
thing.
Is he
just a little overly? I mean, is there an indication that the tree is going to fall, or is it just kind of? Is it one of those?
He doesn't want to clean up anymore.
I think that's what's really going on here. I think, you know what I think he's done? I think he's gone to disaster because he doesn't like the maintenance. I think that's a possibility.
But if you get an arborist,
yes,
and an arborist will come to your property if you schedule an appointment with them, and they can tell you. It's called a hazardous tree evaluation. You will pay for it because he goes through a broad spectrum of tests, as well as his liability is on the line here. So if you have if the question truly is, are they going to fall during a hurricane? I don't think I can answer that on the radio. You'd have to go to a hazardous tree specialist to do that. And people would ask me that question when I was an extension agent, and I do not have that training and will not get that training because it requires quite a bit of liability insurance. And so therefore, That's about the only way you would really solve that.
But we think it's possible, just to be very clear, we think it's possible that Amanda's husband is just cranky about having to clean up after the tree. And he's sort of posing this, oh my gosh, it could fall down.
The neatest thing about those little leaves on a willow oak is that they will just work their way into the leaf, the grass surface. They just work their, raking them up. Why? Eventually you use a mower and a mower kind of draws them up, recuts them, drops them back in. Then you have reduce your need for nitrogen in your grass.
Okay, so I think you're on Amanda's side on this.
I'm on her side for keeping the tree as well.
But you're saying that there's a way that she can convert this to a positive for him.
I can come up with all kinds of justification for that tree if it's going to save the tree.
All right, Amanda, how are you feeling prepared for this conversation?
I feel much more prepared.
Good.
I think, if Jim Orban is on my side, then I have a winner.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, Amanda, but okay. But here's the thing. You
Debbie
can make
doesn't
that...
feel that way all the time.
You can make that ecological argument. And who doesn't love the earth? Just put that question to him. What are you saying? You don't love the earth? Is that what's going on here?
Well,
see, I think you got to ratchet this up a little bit,
and
Amanda.
The other is the energy savings. Because when you have a willow oak, it is just broadcasting all kinds of shade on the home. And therefore, it's going to reduce your heat, your cooling bill.
Right.
And during the summertime, drops the foliage. And so the sun moves through the branches and allows it to heat your house up.
Yeah, I use many logical arguments here, Amanda. Best of success. Call us next month and let us know how that conversation went. You're going to get an email from her husband, I have a feeling. Larry is on the line from Hampton.
Yeah, I'm not giving that email out.
Larry's on the line from Hampton. Hi, Larry. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today?
All right. How about you?
Fine, thank you. My question, I have banana trees in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow to about 8 or 9 feet. And I've had them for about 5 years. Every so often, I get very small bananas, but they never get very large or big enough to eat. And I'm wondering what I can do to make them even bigger, or will they get any bigger?
Probably going to have to go down to Central America to get the size. I don't think we have enough of a growing season to get a large banana out of that. Yes, I have seen them form, and yes, I have seen them get 3 to 4 inches, but I don't know that I've ever seen them get to the size that you get commercial bananas at a local grocery store. So I think it's the limiting factor is our growing time frame.
And
this year it's probably going to be even less.
Indeed. So, Larry, thanks for the call. Dawn is on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I had a question. I have a neighbor who has some honeybees, and I was wondering what I could plant to help out his honeybees.
Okay. What a lovely neighbor you are, Dawn.
Well, if there's no limitations, I would start with a clover lawn. Clover would be just great because in about 2 or 3 weeks when they're in bloom, and clover lasts for about 4 weeks, that gets worked by the bees wonderfully. Pierce japonica, if you have a lot of shade, the bees are working that quite nicely. Really, anything that's going to give you a good bloom is going to be good. And we have a succession of bloom going on right now with plant material. So I'm just trying to think of all the ones that I have seen recently in bloom. But those are two that comes to my mind immediately. The clover is just a great source of not only honeybees, but other pollinators that are out there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dawn. I appreciate it. 22 minutes before the hour, and Sarah is on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering how severely I can prune my azaleas.
Okay.
Well, do you know what azaleas you have, Sarah? Do you have gumpos, or do you have indicas or caroon?
They're Encore Autumn Amethyst.
Okay.
I like that she knows the name of what she has. That's impressive.
I wouldn't prune those too overly severe. Specifically, if you have something that's 2 feet in height, 4 to 5 inches you could take off this year. Remember, an encore is going to be blooming during the spring season and during the fall season. So the best time to prune that is directly after its spring bloom. That way that it'll put flower material on all during the summer and bloom again for you in the spring. I mean, in the fall, and then again, it'll bloom for you in the spring of the year. But that's not going to be a plant that tolerates a hard pruning.
In their area, should I just prune gently a couple years in a row to get them back to the size they should be?
Yes, you should do it over a period of 3 years. And what you would end up doing is strategically divide the plant into three sections and take a third out of each one of those sections that has the tall stems growing, or cut them back to one of the areas where there's a whorl coming out.
Okay? Sarah, thanks for the call. We're at 19 minutes before the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Anybody who thought that they were going to be Mrs. George Clooney, not going to happen for you. Not going to happen for you. You don't even know who George Clooney is, do you?
I do. Okay, I'm wondering where that came in.
Well,
does
because
he
it's just been announced that her law firm has congratulated them on their engagement. So, heart's broken all over the world.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's how it happens. Let's see. Sonia's on the line from Norfolk. You know, I'm always keeping up with the news, Jim.
I know.
I'm keeping up with it. I want to let you know what's going on.
I got a blank slate.
I'd like to point out Jim's iPad. He has brought it in here, but he might as well be using it as a doorstop. It has not once been...
Paperweight.
Yeah, okay. All right, there we go. 19 minutes before the hour.
I can't do those two things at one time.
Well...
I had to be thinking.
I know, yeah, or something. Let's see. Myra's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Myra. You're on the air. Myra? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Let's go to Sonia. And Myra, hang on the line. I'm coming to you. I was upset about George Clooney. Sonia's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Sonia. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just wanted to share a couple of things about gardening and planting. The first one is an anecdote. We are first-time homeowners and first-time parents. And so last year, we wanted to plant some tulips, and we bought some bulbs, which we bought last fall, and we completely forgot to put them in the soil, in the garden. So they were sitting throughout the winter in the garage. And in the spring, when we finally remembered after our daughter was, not needing too much of her attention, we went and planted them out, and voila, they actually popped up. Yeah, and so a little message here was that, you know, plants are forgiving and resilient.
Wow, that's a nice surprise. That's a really nice surprise. Now, you've also been grafting a mulberry?
Yeah, and so I love mulberry. I've seen a lot of people have mulberry trees in their backyard, and we have inquired about buying a tree or a small plant to put it in our yard. Couldn't find one. Last evening, I was taking a walk, and I, came across a little mulberry tree again. So I took a little branch from the tree, and actually I stole the little branch from the tree and dipped it in Rutone, which is the root growth powder, and I put it in the in my backyard. I wanted to ask the expert, will it grow?
Okay, great. So she's purloined a little bit of another plant, a mulberry plant.
My guess is that you've pruned a piece of it that's a woody piece, not any of the new growth, because I haven't seen any mulberries breaking bud yet. But and if you have taken old wood, most likely the cellular material in there is not going to differentiate back into a root system. So I'm thinking that most likely you're not going to be able to root that.
All right.
Unless you had a nursery kinds of facilities where they could mist it and do that kind of stuff. But
so here's the situation. We now have a line available for you. We haven't for quite some time. So if you want to give us a call, this would be a great time to do it. 440-2665.
Let me tell, if Michelle, if you're still listening,
please.
And you had the question about the rosemary pruning of it, there is a great article in Fine Gardening on how to prune lavender, sage, rosemary. And if you give me, I'm afraid to do this since we had the Willow Oak issue out there, but
that's right.
My email is jorband@vt.edu, and I'll forward you that article that's on pruning sub-shrubs is what they're called. And it's a great article. It's pictorial, so you get step-by-step on how to do exactly the pruning that you need. So all I'll be glad to do that.
Very good.
And there's my email.
16 minutes before the hour, and let's go to Myra now. Myra, thank you for holding from Virginia Beach. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead. You're on the air.
This is Myra. I want to thank Jim for his encouragement about Mundo grass and soaker hose. I planted 40 recently, and I have the soaker hose, and they're doing wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful.
Great. I have a new problem, though. It's a Quonset cherry tree that's about 3 years old, and last year it had two or three blooms on it. And after the blooms fell off, I cut back the branches about 12 inches on each branch, just hoping that it would encourage more blooms. This year I had about a dozen blooms on it, and I want to know if pruning it slightly is a good idea. If so, when? And perhaps fertilizing.
Okay.
I'd like to know if I should do that and with what.
Well, a Quonset cherry always prune directly after it blooms. So Quonset is still in bloom now. So, you know, within 2 or 3 weeks, it'd be good to prune it. Now, it sounded like yours is a young one that you've just planted. I would not do a lot of pruning with that plant, primarily because you're going to change its form. It's going to have long graceful branches, and when you cut it back like that, you're going to change the direction of those branches. So I wouldn't do that. The only thing I would do is correct the structure so that you don't have rubbing crossing branches. You don't have branches that go from one side of the tree into the other side of the tree. You don't have water sprouts. You don't do that kind of stuff. And then I think you mentioned something about fertilizer. As far as fertilizer, that tree, unless it's showing you nutrient problems such as chlorosis, problems such as discoloration of foliage, I think I would back off any need for fertilizer, but I would not be stingy with my water to it. So I would make sure that it stays hydrated.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tom on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom. Hi. My mom is looking to put in Autumn Princess or Autumn Emperor, I think it is, Empress azaleas.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, are there any issues with those? She's looking for the double blooming or semi-double blooming.
Okay.
I don't know each and every single variety of azalea out there, but, you know, usually with azalea, the major problems that we face with those are a mildew, okay, or if they're planted in the wrong place, meaning in full sun or a lot of sun, afternoon sun, then you're going to get azalea lace bug. So anything more than that, I really wouldn't worry too much about it. You just want to make sure that you give them plenty of room to grow. Forecast their size. If the label tells you they're going to get 8 feet wide and 6 feet tall, you want to give them that kind of space. Not like what Kathy and I were talking about earlier with the marigolds, you know, overplant and then remove them, because that's kind of difficult to do with a woody plant.
Thanks for the call. Tom's on the line. Oh, no. Well, sorry. Dawn is on the line. Got them mixed up there. From Norfolk. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. Yeah, I just moved into a house that the front yard faces the Lafayette River, and we just have weeds for the grass, and I really would like to have more grass. And what type of grass would you recommend?
Great question. And we should let you know, by the way, Dawn, you can find some great opportunities at Historic Garden Week in Meadowbrook and Algonquin Park in Norfolk if you're looking for some great ideas.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Dawn, is it in full sun, this lawn that's facing the Lafayette River? It's full sun? No shade. Okay. Then I would always recommend that you go with a Bermuda or warm season grass, zoysia, centipede, any of those grasses, especially probably because you have the Lafayette River to be concerned with.
Yes.
And we've had guests on this radio program talking about the Lafayette River and the potential for us to put fertilizers that aren't needed in it. Bermuda is a great grass because it does not need a lot of fertility to keep it growing. It's a native of the area. So it's called Bermuda grass, and you can buy it as a common Bermuda grass, or you can buy some of the hybridized ones like Sahara, which you can apply by seed, or you can also purchase plugs or purchase sod and lay it down. So that's a great option for you. You will have to do some weed control early in the life of Bermuda because obviously you're putting it into a situation where there were already other grasses. So the seed is going to remain. So you'll have to do some herbicide control. But other than that, the Bermuda is going to grow great. Use the cultural mowing height for Bermuda, which is 3/4 of an inch to an inch in height. And the Bermuda will live. It will suffocate out all the weeds.
Well, Dawn, thank you for the call. And again, you give us a great opportunity to talk about Historic Garden Week, which is this week, coming up through May 3rd. More than 250 house and garden tours are being offered statewide. Tomorrow, from 10 to 5:30, Williamsburg is on deck. They've got 10 distinct sites, as well as close proximity to the Williamsburg Winery, where parking is available. On Wednesday, it's Newport News, Hampton, and Yorktown's time to shine. 5 private homes and gardens, as well as a scenic garden overlooking the waterfront. Also Wednesday, Virginia Beach, featuring 5 private homes and gardens. Thursday, Norfolk, featuring homes and gardens along the Lafayette in Meadowbrook and Algonquin. And on Friday, it's Richmond with Hampton Gardens, featuring 5 private homes in the Richmond area. And Saturday, Gloucester and Matthews, known as the Daffodil Capital of the World, will have 11 private homes and gardens on tour. So that'll be it's a great week. And all of these events, there's ticketed prices, and all of the proceeds go to help restore and maintain historic gardens in Virginia. So if you are interested, here is the main website, which can tell you everything about each city's individual events around Garden Week. It's vagardenweek.org, vagardenweek.org. And it's a great event. Hope you enjoy it. Arlene's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Arlene. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm looking for some help with a gardenia bush that's been blooming for about 15 years. And the front of it is still green and the back of it is dead. And I don't know whether I should start over again or what.
Okay. Good question.
Oh, no. I don't think you need to start over with it because obviously, there's life in that root system, and there's probably good life in that root system. It's just the top was burned. So the best thing for you to do is just patience with it. Take a look at it. If you're confident and you know that you can identify the buds coming out, then you know, go ahead and start pruning out the dead wood because it's not going to come back. And as far as the live wood goes, then you might want to prune it such that it's in balance so that you're going to have the proper height that you want it to be. And in a case such as this, I would recommend that you pull away your mulch, use a slow-release fertilizer around the base of it, and then water when Mother Nature doesn't give that to us.
All right. Thanks for the call. And Fred is on the line now from Pocosin with a poignant question for us today. Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Hey, quick question. Is there any hope for my oleanders? I had 3 beautiful bushes for about 7 or 8 years, and they now look like they're toast.
I have seen so much oleander burned up. I've never have taken any close looks at it. Again, it's one of those kind of things you got to see, got to get close to it and see if you see any life in the buds of those plants. You can always do the thumbnail test or the pruner test, whereas you take your thumbnail and scratch the bark, see if you see green. But in some cases, you'll still see green, but it's more of a lime green as opposed to a dark green color. So if it's a lime green, then most likely the plant is on its way out. If it's deep, dark green, then most likely it just hasn't started moving up and started filling or swelling the buds. But yeah, I've seen a lot of oleander that was pretty well hit.
Yeah.
And you're in Pocosin, and we're pushing its northern boundaries on the peninsula. On the south side, I don't know that I've seen as much problem with oleander.
All right, friend. I think what he's trying to say is prepare yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Get ready for the worst.
All right. Hey, Fred, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. In terms of, I'm telling you, this is the time of year for the gardening. We've got the third annual Spring in the Garden tour of the Williamsburg Botanical Garden at Freedom Park.
That's Saturday, May 3rd.
Indeed it is.
And they're actually going to have tours of it also. They're going to have a tour from at 1 o'clock and then one again at 2:30. And you can sign up for it by going to the www.WilliamsburgBotanicalGarden.org. That's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Yorktown garden program.
Right.
They're going to be selling some plants in Yorktown also.
Indeed.
And that they're calling it Plant Parenthood.
I love that.
Yeah, how about that? So from 10 till 2, and it's real interesting because they have been contacting me. There's been some plants left off, and they needed them identified.
Ah.
So I've been doing some identifying with seeing them, but by way of computer, and I think we've been able to address some of those needs.
Worked out well.
So,
that's great. So that's Wednesday. I have 10 to 4:30. Do you have 10 to 2?
10 to 4:30.
Just get there between.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 to 4:30. Mm-hmm. And that's a public plant sale in historic Yorktown hosted by the Celebrate Yorktown Committee. That's going to be located at the Yorktown Baptist Church parking lot at the corner of Smith Street and Ballard Street.
Mm-hmm.
So
what an opportunity.
Oh, man, fantastic.
And, you know,
fantastic.
You were commenting on the Fred Hewitt. So many good plants that you can get at these things because
yes.
A lot of them are grown by other gardeners. And so they're growing what grows well in their garden and they're sharing it with other folks. And the prices are right also.
The price is usually right. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, and Friday through Sunday, May 9th through 11th, that's Mother's Day weekend, there is going to have the annual spring plant sale at the Norfolk Botanical Garden.
You bet.
So that's going to be huge,
too. Thanks for saying
that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be huge. You'll probably get a little sneak peek at that today.
Well,
I
was told by Brian he's going to have some unusual ferns in there, so I'm kind of drooling over that.
Very good. We have about 30 seconds left, so if we can't deal with this properly, I'm sure we'll figure out how to do that. Mary Paul writes, she has a dwarf Mondo grass lawn and the top portion of the plants are brown. Should she cut off the top portion or fertilize?
No, the top portion of Mondo grass that's burnt is just from normal burnt of the conditions.
Got it.
The main thing with that is just to see wait for the new grass to come through and it'll fill that area in, especially if it is a dwarf. It'll fill that area in. If it's the large Mondo grass, a lot of that was burned. You have to use a weed eater or a hedge trimmer, some type, remove all that grass debris, and then the new grass will come up through that.
Or you could write a check for somebody else to do that. That would be another option you
would
might
that
consider.
Work?
Yes.
That would work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I had somebody tell me this weekend that I was, he didn't say disingenuous, but that might have been kind of the implication because I don't garden.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a pet, but I don't garden. But I said, wait a minute. I have been an evolutionary gardener over time. I used to be full checkbook. Now I'm partial checkbook and partial hands in the dirt. So I feel that I have earned, you know,
oh, for sure.
An
and some of this, this osmosis
oh,
that we've
gosh.
Been providing.
Well, it's because of our collaboration, command, whatever
collaboration
that word was.
Collaboration and corroboration.
Right.
That's
that
was full circle. Here we come round and around. Here we go.
You know, I got to tell you, you got to pay a lot for talent like us. That's a fact.
Right.
That is a fact.
I'm sorry to say that this is not your Friday.
I know.
Because this is Thursday.
But hey,
we'll be back on a Thursday.
And a great start to the week. Jim Orban, thanks for being with us.
You bet.
Do enjoy Historic Garden Week, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.